Well, it's been a while since I've been up here, so if my message is a little chop suey, you just be patient with me, okay? What was that? Amen. Anyway, so I listened to Pastor Deborah's message, and last week, Pastor John gave a good message about sin. Yeah, that was a good one. And what I loved was the realization that we need to start helping victims out. Isn't that great, you know, that we need to really zero in on that and not let them be ignored to the point where they're carrying all this hurt and everything for years. But Pastor Deborah gave a great message on running the race. And so today, my message is, can we finish the race? And there was a word that came to me while I was away, and the word was disunity. And I thought, disunity, Lord. You know, I mean, we hear that we're not in unity, blah, blah, blah. We rarely hear the word disunity. So I just pondered on it and pondered on it. But anyway, this is what I'm going to speak on today, disunity, okay? So I tell you what, if you want to finish strong, I encourage you to resist disunity. Because there's such a powerful spirit behind that. It destroys homes, businesses, governments, countries, all out of disunity. This spiritual weapon has been roaming the earth since Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. This spirit attacks people in the world as well as people in the church. And this is a spirit of disunity. Our nation is in disunity, politically, morally, and spiritually. Since COVID-19, the woke mob has started spewing their immoral ideas. Our country has been in chaos, just as we saw yesterday. You have to watch out what you say about race, politics, and religion, or you better just shut up. We were out in a restaurant, and you know my husband asks questions, and the kid said, "Vuvu, don't say that. Lower your voice." Well, we were talking about something. Now I can't even remember. It must have had something to do with some race or something, but nothing awful. But the kids are telling him, "Shh, don't." You know, I'm going, wow, this is how bad it is now. Gone are the days of, what was his name that used to do the nightclubs when we were younger, the Portuguese entertainer? And all he did was talk about race and tease each other. Huh? Frank de Lima. Do you know he has had to shut up? He'll be taken to court. And we used to laugh about these things. We used to tease each other. Yeah? We used to tease each other. It was all in love and fun. Nobody went home crying. It was part of our local culture because we got so mixed up, you know, during the sugarcane years with all the different races coming together. And so there was a lot of teasing and joking, and now you can't do that. You got to shut up. They take you to court. So how many of you were shocked at the attempted assassination of President Trump? You shouldn't be. Political disunity is so thick right now, you can cut it with a knife. I have to tell you that I was saying things to others and I about the opposing party who I'm not voting for, and I would say things like, "Oh, I can't stand that person," blah, 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 blah. And you know, the Lord checked my spirit and said, "What are you doing? You're causing division yourself by speaking like that." So I changed my tone, and now if I want to talk about it, like I did while I was away, I said, "Have you looked at their policies? Let's talk policies." And do you know, it didn't rile anybody up. It didn't cause the other person to say, "Oh, I can't stand so-and-so." You know, we sometimes do it ourselves. So ask the Lord for wisdom. In these days when things are so chaotic, find a way to bring unity into the picture instead of disunity. I'm learning every day myself. I tell you, life is new every day. I learn something new every day, even at my age. America's moral fabric is at a great crossroads right now. The haters are hating harder. The internet has given every influential, great platform, and aligned spirit who wants to warp truth the same platform. You can hear whatever you want to hear on the internet. You want to hear something positive. You want to hear something where you grow in your faith, where you can learn things, and then you can go to the other dark side. You can watch pornography. You can learn how to rip off a car. You can learn how to break into the house. All those things on the internet. And then media. Media is causing so much division in our country, in the world. And that's, to me, the greatest culprit right now is the media. Amen? So we need to really have our eyes open, watch what we say, use discernment when somebody says something to you. You don't have to believe everybody's opinion, you know. Don't take it for the word. No, you judge it. You judge it. Amen? So this is a scripture that really touched my heart when I was reading. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Amen? If I'm not in agreement with Pastor Deborah, I won't seek her out. I'm not going to walk with her. I don't care if I have a relationship with her. I don't need her. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? We're very familiar with the subject of unity, preached from the pulpit, at seminars, conferences, all the time. Years and years of that. You've all heard it. Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, what's the opposite of that? Making no effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Disunity. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What's the opposite of that? You do not honor the commandment from Jesus and are disobeying his desire for the world to see his love through you. Disunity. Sometimes we just become a little apathetic toward these things, that the commandments of the Lord, we forget. We become, I don't want to say insensitive, because I don't believe that. I think we just become lazy about it, and we don't pay attention sometimes to the things we say, the things we do. And so it causes disunity. We claim to be sons and daughters of God, professing the saving grace of Jesus, but are we walking in disunity with God? Are we walking in disunity with him? Again, Amos, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Is God wanting to walk with you? That really touched me. Disunity with God is a dangerous place to be. When we got saved, we were all in. Anything, Lord? You remember that? Got water baptized, threw away the booze, ungodly habits in our life. Ask those you've offended for forgiveness, making right the wrongs in your life. Then, as time goes by, are we still all in? Are we in agreement with God? Are we even reading the word? And are other things replacing our time or our walk with God? I'm so guilty of that. The Lord put a big word to me when I was in the church in Alaska this last couple of weeks. Shift! And I said, shift. Okay. You know, when you hear God give you a word, you better think about it. What's he telling me? And I knew what he was saying. And it was so loud, and it was all in capital letters. Shift. And when I hear God speak to me that way, I know I better do it. Because I tell you what, I want to walk with him in agreement. I want him to take me by the hand and walk with me in agreement. I do not want to be in disunity with the Lord. Amen. Is it still important to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Sure it is, and you sure should make every effort in this area. Sometimes we go the mile and we ask for forgiveness, but it's not received on the other end. So what? Never mind. It's okay. You did what pleases God. You did what pleases God. He will deal with them. People who cannot receive forgiveness do not understand God's love. Amen. And that's why we have to continue to extend that to those around us who are in, who are separated from us. Do those around us see how we obey? Excuse me, Jesus' commandment to love one another, or do we sound like the world? Do they hear us slandering each other, tearing the church apart, moving on because of offense or needs not met? Hey, this is constant today. It happens in the workplace, it happens in friendships, it happens in sports teams, it happens in the church. It happens in the church. It's very sad, but it's real. I have such a hard time, and I get so fearful when I think that of myself not walking with God. Isn't it a scary place to be for all of us? Can you imagine that? I look out here and I see all of you, and you all love the Lord. You all come to church because you want to be with fellow believers. You want to hear the word of God. You want to share your life. You want to serve. I can't imagine not being in that place and walking with the Lord in agreement. The trumpet is sounding, family. Let's close up the great divide. If you are not alarmed, you should be. We don't have to agree on every opinion, but we better agree with the Word of God. And you need to be in the Word of God in order to be able to follow it, agree with it, use it, speak it. If you're not there, you're like a clanging cymbal, just like in 1 Corinthians 13. Just a clanging cymbal, speaking out of your own knowledge, your only head knowledge that you have. But when you dig into the Word of God, wow, 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 your language changes. Your relationships, they all change. Let me read a couple of comments from the book of Amos, okay? Israel and Judah interpreted their prosperity as a sign of God's blessing. They reached new political and military heights, but their religious life was at an all-time low. Idolatry was rampant. The rich lived in luxury, while the poor experienced oppression. Immorality was widespread, and the judicial system was corrupt. Wow, does that sound like today? You see, man hasn't changed. His heart is just as deceitful today as it was 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Just as deceitful. You think you're really unique? You're not. This is all since the fall. All since the fall. Amos's task is to deliver the message that God is displeased with the nation and his patience exhausted. Punishment is inevitable. The nation will be destroyed unless the people have a change of heart, a change that would let justice, this is what I love, run like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Look at what's going on in Tennessee. Can you imagine if the whole state was praying for 40 days? Oh my gosh. I could see that. Justice running down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Whew, powerful. So if these people have broken their covenant with God, how can they walk with him? He's telling them, hey, y'all getting on my last nerve. I'm ready to spit you out. I'm ready to cut you off. And he did do that quite a few times. And yet they are his people, and we are to honor them, and we are to pray for them, but they are not perfect. We need to fight to finish the race. This is not a time to grab every opinion out there and run with it. It will cause you to stumble. Run hard with your Bible in your hand. Hard with your Bible in your hand. Don't go it alone. You have to have the Lord with you. This is what the Lord spoke to the people through Amos, then when they were in disunity with him. Amos 5, 21 to 23. I hate, strong word, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacrificial assemblies. So remember that. They are going to the temple with their sacrifices. They are going with their feast days to make sure it's on the calendar, it's celebrated. And he's saying, I despise it. I despise it. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Can you imagine that the worship that we just sang would be like this to the Lord? No, don't bother. I don't want it. That's what happens when we get on his last nerve. That's when we are not walking with him. Amen. Amos 5:24. And that's that scripture, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. He gives us the opportunity to turn it around. Amen. He always says that. God always has an escape clause. Hallelujah. To be in agreement with him. Are you in agreement with God? Not your spouse, not your mom and dad, not your siblings, not your friends in church, but with God. What does it look like for justice to run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream? Amen. I believe that if we are not in disunity with God and walking in agreement with him, that justice and righteousness will flow through us in all of our relationships, in our view of the world, in our steadfast desire to serve him. Amen. Because it's coming, it's continuously flowing through us. Quit comparing yourself to others. Quit comparing yourself. God has chosen you. You're alive today, amen, to stand in relationship with him and serve him. Quit allowing dissatisfaction to have a loud voice, but let your grateful heart shout out. Kui and I were talking this morning for a few minutes. And, you know, life can get hard. Life can get exhausting, tiring. But one thing I heard out of his heart, I have a grateful heart toward the Lord because he always sees me through. He always provides. Hallelujah! That's because that flow the flow, when you're walking with God, when he's holding your hand, flow. I love it. Do not let money dictate your every move, but move with a heart of generosity. Hey, I can remember having no money. I can remember borrowing from somebody years ago when we were young parents, no money, had to pay some bills, had to go beg and borrow from somebody. It's humiliating, but you know what? We paid it back like we said we would, but we've always felt that we needed to be generous to people because it's always come back to us. But it's not why we're generous. It's because the Lord in our heart, we want to be generous. Amen? Amen. And sometimes you give when you don't have much. But if the Lord puts it on your heart, do it. Write that check. Take that person to lunch. Give a little one of those Holy Ghost offerings. It builds up your own spirit. It builds up your own confidence in Jesus. Amen? Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. Because what are we doing? Loving each other. Stirring up unity in the body. Helping each other. It's all so cool. So cool. So you choose. You choose to finish strong. Amen? As I was preparing today's message, I was prompted to remind us of the Ten Commandments. Wow, my message is so short today. Uh-oh. Aren't you a lucky people? And anyway, I was prompted to remind us of the Ten Commandments. When we honor the Ten Commandments, or actually all his commandments, because we know he has many commandments, right? But these ten are always the ones that we are focused on. We walk in agreement with God. Amen? We walk in agreement with God. So, the scripture says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Okay, so Egypt. Some of you have been spared. You were raised in the church. You didn't have to come out of Egypt. You weren't doing drugs. You weren't steeped in pornography. You weren't robbing banks. You know, you were just a good Christian person. And so, you know, maybe you didn't have your Egypt, but many of us have come out of Egypt. Many of us have come out of slavery. And even today, that's why we pray for people, for breakthroughs, to break bondages, to get them out of slavery, because they're still in Egypt. They're still in Egypt. And so we have to have patience. Sometimes you can pray for somebody and boom, man, change of life. Sometimes you pray for years and years and years and years and you pray. Sometimes it's on their deathbed, yeah, Brother Gene, that they finally come to senses, yeah, and want Jesus. Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. So number one, you shall have no other gods before me. And I will have to say this. You know, when this was all written, you can imagine, like, Egypt. What was Egypt like? Can you imagine what Egypt was like? All the pharaohs and all their decorated faces and all their gods. I know Pastor Chris could probably have pictures of things in Pakistan and India and all of these. In fact, when we lived in Singapore, I was amazed at the buildings that were some shrines, Indian shrines. And, oh my gosh, frightening. Frightening, and they worship it. That's the unreal part about it. You go to Japan, and you can go to these temples, and it's crazy because, you know, if nobody knew any better, it's like, wow, what is this thing in the front of this temple? It's so frightening. And this is what they worship. This is what they call on for protection. This is what's going to protect us. They're man-made, right? They're not going to protect them. But you have to be careful of the gods in your life. Today, sports is a big one. We all know that. many kids aren't in church today because they're out playing baseball, soccer, football, basketball, whatever it is, okay? So if you're a parent who decided that your child is not going to be in sports, that has sports on Sunday, kudos to you. God is really pleased because he knows that you know the importance of raising your children in church on Sundays, amen? Because they hear enough of everything else out there during the week. So watch what you create as God's in your... The internet. How many of you can get on the internet looking something up and before you know it, 2 hours went by? Yeah. Thank you, Keola. That's real, yeah? 2 hours can go boom, just surfing the net. How many families are being destroyed now because of gaming? How many husbands are tucked away in the back of the house playing games all night? Huh? Yeah, that's real. That's real. No more time for family. No sitting down for dinner. Come home from work. Go play the game. These are the real things. These are the gods of the world today. These are the gods of the world today. You shall make no idols. Man is still building temples and statues to worship carved images, just as I was saying, who have no life. Or people who when you think about it, Muhammad, Buddha, they were human beings. They all died, but did they raise again from the dead? No. And people are still worshiping these dead people. Amen. You serve a living God. Your God was resurrected. It is the true God. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God. And don't forget, y'all serve a jealous God. He says that in his word. I am a jealous God. That means he's not going to compete with anything else. You want that in your life. You want to chase after that? Go. I'll let you go. Up to you. He gives us so much freedom. And then you come back. Crying at the altar. Pray for me. I have this stronghold. The pornography is so great, I can't shake it. It's real. It's real. Amen. So you see, it's right here in the word. You shall not make idols in your life. But because we aren't reminded of these things on a regular basis, and we kind of say, oh, Ten Commandments. But if we really acknowledge the Ten Commandments, if we live it, if we teach it to our kids, and we start really, maybe sometimes we just have to catch ourselves, like me hearing a word like shift. Okay, God, I heard you. I know what you're talking about. I'm going to do it, and I will, because I have a fear of the Lord. And I don't want to be in disunity with him. Hallelujah. Number 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This command emphasizes the importance of respecting God's name and not using it carelessly or disrespectfully. So, you know, I'm sure all of you, when you hear people in the world saying things like GD, you know, G-damn, whatever, you know, or J-C, you know, they'll just say, J-C, you know, not in a reverent way or a respectful way, but like in a swearing way. Be careful. It's a commandment. It's right there at the top 10, part of the top 10, the top 10 chart. Keep the Sabbath day holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And so that's something we always have to be reminded of, you know. Be careful working. I don't mean that, you know, with the way jobs are today, some people have to work on a Sunday, but choose another day that's your Sabbath day. That means honor the Lord. Just rest. He did that on purpose, you know, so you can keep going. If you kept working 7 days a week continuously, you can drop dead. He did it for your good and His, because then you can rest with Him. And I think we've shared this before, that like in Israel, you go into a hotel there and it's the Sabbath. They turn off the elevators as far as, not turn off the elevators. They reprogram it. And if it's an 11-story building, you cannot press the button because that's work. So you have to wait. If you're on the 11th floor and you close the door, you have to wait. You have to go to all 11 floors because you're not supposed to press the button. And I know that sounds quite religious, but that's how it is in Judaism, you know. So very interesting. So let's do that. Let's respect the holy day. And, you know, this is a great day to meet up with friends, have lunch together, be with your family. Just, you know, it's a good day to just, to not plan to have to work, but just to honor what the Lord says because it's for your good. Honor your father and mother. Woo! You honor your father and your mother, and it says that all your days of your life will be long, okay? And some of us maybe grew up with parents that were very hard to honor, and God would just say, hey, I know it. I hear you. You honor them. You honor them. And the blessing is yours to come yet, okay? And your mother and father might be also people in authority, because today a lot of young people totally disrespect authority. And we need to teach them that authority is there for a purpose. Mothers and fathers are in our lives for a purpose. Amen. You shall not murder. Okay? And I think murder probably happened, maybe, I don't know if it happened a lot more back then, you know, taking the life of another. But, you know, in the Old Testament, you were killed for certain sins that you did. You know, it was black and white. But today, we can murder somebody just by the accusations we make about them. We gossip about them. We can tear down their, you know, who they are. Look at kids today, young girls especially, probably more middle school when they're on the internet. They cause other little girls to want to commit suicide because they have spoken so harshly about them. They have ridiculed them amongst their peers. They have said hateful things about them amongst their peers. And in a way, that is kind of a little bit of a scenario of murdering, you know, of killing the spirit. Killing the spirit. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So what is adultery? What's adultery? Yeah. Your spouse. That's right. You're married, right? Okay. So you're fooling around. I think it's funny that it's in the top 10. Was there a lot of fooling around back then? Hey, fooling around's been going on forever. Nothing new under the sun. Amen? Fooling around. Dissatisfied in your relationship. You know, I am number one. If somebody is being beaten up, get the heck out of town. You know, you don't need to be in that relationship. But anyway, you really need to really decide, is it worth it to fool around? Don't forget you have to live with that the rest of your life, okay? And the other thing is, something popped into my head just now. Some people have a habit of fooling around, going from one person to another, even though they're married. And guess what they're creating? Soul ties. Soul ties. You have become one. You've become one with that person and that person. All these soul ties. Out of adultery. Yeah. Yeah. Treasure your marriage. If anything has happened in your marriage, ask for forgiveness, move on, and treasure your marriage, okay? Treasure the person that God has put in your life. Sometimes we start off on the wrong foot like we did, and we probably never would have come together, but we did. And I thank the Lord today, you know, and I treasure my marriage. We are not perfect. We're not perfect together. But you know what? I cannot imagine being married to anybody else. I treasure my marriage. Amen. What was that? Yeah. Opposites attract each other. Yes. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, that's plain black and white. No stealing. No helping yourself to somebody else's cookie jar. Right? I don't hear too much stuff like that, but I feel like when we were kids, I would hear like, oh, so-and-so, they went and took the pen, and so-and-so went and did that at that store, and I don't know. I don't hear about that so much now, but now it's like, oh, ram the car into the store and go take what you want. It's like, steal. It's scary. I don't think they know this commandment. What are they doing? Wow. You live in a crazy world. It's going downhill quick. Quick. Huh. Okay. And don't steal from God. Okay? He asked us, all of us, for our tithe. Don't try to rationalize it. Just give. Like God has taught us to give. Amen? Don't steal from the work of God. And I can tell you right now that, you know, Pastor John and the other pastors, they don't waste the money. They are frugal in many ways. But they want to put money out for things like we needed a fence. We're working on saving money for chairs. There's things, expenses that have to be paid for. The electricity bill has to be paid. The water bill has to be paid. We, for years, needed 2 commodes in the toilet for the women. You know, and so we're blessed that we're able to get some of these things done. But that's what it costs to maintain a building. Our missions giving has gone up so much because there was no missions giving when we got here. And it has just gone up so high. And it's all because of you folks honoring, giving to God. Amen. It's so cool. And we're doing it together. A family working with goals to extend the kingdom of God. Kudos to all of you guys. It's so awesome. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay, I would say, is that lying? Lying? I think so, yeah. Lying about people. Yeah, bearing false witness, that can be horrible. I don't know if any of you have had somebody lie about you, you know, or lied at you or anything like that. And I think I've told this story before that I was accused one day of talking about a lady in church. And what happened was we were in this big room, and I couldn't hear, and I'm trying to listen to somebody else. And I tell you, this is what the enemy does. So I'm kind of like just going like this and trying to listen. Well, my eyes, what's your name, the boy with the black T-shirt? Sam. So I'm probably trying to listen, but my eyes are on Sam. And Sam calls me later, and he goes, Sister Pat, you were talking about me. I said, what? I was talking about you? You were talking about me. I said, when was I talking about you? And he goes, I saw you. You were looking at me. And I thought, oh my gosh, what did I mean, you know, you're caught by surprise. And it's like, whoa. And I had to little kindly straighten her out. No, I wasn't talking about you. I couldn't hear the lady I was talking to because then I figured out what happened. Thank the Lord. She didn't go all around church telling everybody I was talking about her. I mean, you know, we can lie so easily about people and we don't even have the facts. We don't even have the facts. And we can lie. We can lie at our workplace. We can lie to one another. Again, part of the Ten Commandments, the top ten, don't talk stink about each other. Be careful. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful. Be careful what we say. Amen. And the last one is, you shall not covet. Okay, and covet means to desire something that somebody else has. Okay, and we've all done it. Come on, let's face facts. You see a nice car out there. Oh, wish I had that car. Oh, can we get that car? No. What are you going to do with that car? I want that car. I want that car. I'm going to save all our money for that car. You know, we just covet what somebody else's has. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. Be happy with what you have. And he did it for a reason. Just how I just kind of displayed that. Because it takes over your heart, takes over your mind. It does. It takes over your mind. I got to have it. I want it. I want it now. Yeah. You become possessed with the things that you covet because you're not satisfied with what you have already. I want more, more, more. You go in debt for it. Because you're coveting something else. Amen. So I don't know why God had me bring up the Ten Commandments today, but I pray that it spoke to your hearts as a reminder that you want to be in a place where you are walking with God and in agreement. Amen. Let's all stand. Cooey! Let's stretch. That was good. I heard that. Let's stretch. Let's stretch. Can we do a little internal heart check this morning? I want you to just see yourself walking. When I see myself with the Lord, I always go by a stream. I like to go by a tree because that's what the scripture says. A tree planted by the water. Your roots are going down into the river, right? The tree on the banks is so rich, full of nourishment. And I always picture myself in the stream. And I tell this to women when I pray for them. Take yourself to the stream. Kick your feet. Look at your reflection. Jump in there with Jesus. Find that place that is special to you because you're with God. Because you're holding his hand and you're in agreement. But if today's message put you in a place where you know you need a shift somewhere, ask the Lord to help you. The altar is open. If you would like to just come to the altar, just to honor the Lord at the foot of the cross so that he can help you to make that shift, so that you can walk with him in unity. There's no shame. There's no shame. I pray that you're comfortable coming to the altar now than having to run to the altar. That you are comfortable at the altar. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So if our pastors will come up here and we will pray for you also. If anyone needs prayer. Pastor Chris, come on up. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I thank you for the prophet Amos and what you did through him. How you spoke the truth through him. How he had to give the hard message that people were not in the right place with you, but you had an escape plan. And we praise you, Father, for that. And today, Father, I pray for each person here that if they are at a place where they need to make a shift, I pray that they will yield to the Holy Spirit, that they will say, Abba, Father, hear my heart. And number one, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I want to walk with you in agreement. Because as I walk with you in agreement, I will then walk in agreement with those around me. Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless this congregation this morning. Take them to new heights in you, Lord God. Do not let them be satisfied with where they're at. More, Lord, more, more, more of you, Lord. More. We need you, Lord. It's getting worse out there, Lord God. Beyond reason, in many situations. We thank you, Father. We thank you for holding us close to your heart, for not denying us. We thank you, Jesus, Jesus, for your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.